Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're spending this time with us. It seems like in this day and age, homeschooling has become a mandatory thing. So each family has become a homeschooling family. And I like to begin this show with a little devotion, ask the Lord's blessing on the show. I'm taking it from Sweet Tea for the Soul, and the title is Popularity. And our scripture is found in Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. Salmon swim against the current, migrating from the ocean to the upper reaches of rivers and onto the stream of their birth to lay eggs. This is known as the salmon run, and it's popular with fishermen and bears alike. Any fisherman worth his salt knows that most fish swim against the current. Not only does this make it easier for fish to control their direction, it also takes less effort for them to snap up insects and worms. The food comes right to them. Lots of public swimming pools now have what is known as a lazy river. You throw in an inner tube into the water and you plop yourself in the middle. You allow the current to take you around the relaxing course again and again until you're sunburned and bored to tears. People without conviction or belief run the course of lazy thinking, going with the flow instead of confronting what is wrong and defending what is right. And our faith check is, swimming against the current of popular belief offers individuals the opportunity to sift through all the facts and opinions that come to them head on and to apply those critical thinking skills that each one of us God has given. And for the believer, God's word and prayer should always be the mainstay of that process. And today's little famous quote is from Malcolm Muggeridge, "Only dead fish go with the flow." We have a lot of prayer requests and a lot of things that we're thankful for. Thankful for this show for sure, that I have the opportunity to talk to so many of you in places that I might never reach in my lifetime. And I'll put a little plug in for myself. If you ever do want a speaker for a homeschool convention or a women's ministries, I'm happy to do it. I've done a number of those, and I just feel like we need to shore each other up and strengthen our resolve to be followers of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for listening and hearing our prayers. I ask for healing in our listenership, and I ask for the peace that passes understanding. I have a prayer request here for a family that was in a recent car accident. Please send your healing hand upon them. And I pray for a Christian who is suffering persecution and has been imprisoned. Please go to them as you did to Peter and release them. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us, and I just pray that your words will travel through me this day, that your blessing will be on this show. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! It's our arts and crafts time, and we're talking about things we can easily make at home that also are educational. And a lot of things that we do at home really fit in the category of STEM. So if you want to look at what I'm talking about, I try to place all my resources and all my ideas on my Pinterest page, and it's mrgamblin2.com or whatever Pinterest does. Anyway, that's how you're going to find me. So we're going to talk about homemade Play-Doh. And I love homemade Play-Doh. I've made it so many times. It's also edible. It's not as probably healthy as it should be, but it doesn't hurt if your little toddler eats it. So you need 2.5 cups of flour. You need 1 cup of salt. And this is where sometimes we just don't have a bunch of salt around. But you need that salt. And you need 1.5 cups of hot water, 6 tablespoons of lemon juice, vegetable oil, Kool-Aid packets, and the more variation you have, the more colors you can have, and wax paper. If you don't have the Kool-Aid, you can get food coloring. You can also put sprinkles in it. And this is how you make it. You add the water, the oil, the lemon juice, and you make sure the water is hot but not boiling. And then you add the flour and salt in a large mixing bowl. You add the liquid slowly to the dry ingredients, and then you can divide the balls and create the colors by mixing in. This is a no-cook version. I also have another version where you actually cook it, and it really is exactly like Play-Doh. But when you want something that for the kids to do, and you don't mind your kitchen getting a mess, you can just give them the recipe and say, go for it. Go do it, because they don't have to cook anything. So that covers our little arts and crafts, edible Play-Doh. In our curriculum corner, we're going to discuss benchmarks. And I'm going to talk today about the mathematical benchmarks for a first grader going into second grade. So for first grade, this is what you really need to stress, and you can do this without a book. You can do this with paper and pencil, dry erase marker and chalkboard, outside in the dirt. Do it in lots of fun ways. So they need to be able to add and subtract up to 20. They should understand the basic rules of addition, like, 12 plus 4 is the same as 4 plus 12. They should be able to solve word problems up to 2 digits. They should be able to count to 120. And they should already, by the end of first grade, understand the ones and tens place value. Now, I like them to be able to tell time, but that's not as important as some of the other ones I'm talking about. It would be good if they could organize into categories, like what's the difference between plain pepperoni or sausage pizza. It's also good if they can begin to understand simple graphs. And they could go and just ask, what's your favorite food or what's your favorite activity, and just make a little category of who in the family or who in the extended family. They could call their extended family and do a little survey. And that would be just a great activity and a great completion of a benchmark for a first grade math student going into second grade. Questions homeschooling families ask, and most of our families in the United States and throughout the world are homeschooling at this point. So one of the questions or statements that I thought was pretty good was given to me by Danielle. She said that, as our older students are trying to figure out what career they should do, they can look around now and see who's still working or who is in high demand during a national crisis. Who is still working and who is not still working? Is there any of those careers that you see that you would like to do, like first responders, medical, grocery store stockers who put the groceries on the shelves and that kind of thing? And I thought that's a really good idea. Look around. If you are in grades 9 or above, look around and see what work is still going on. Obviously, the teachers are at home right now, and that could be problematic. I had another homeschooling mom give me an idea, and you might do this with your little ones. It was to express how germs are spread. And so she just took some water and started sprinkling pepper. The pepper, black pepper, represents the germs. And just sprinkled it in the water. And then she asked her young child to put his finger in it and to pull it out again. And of course, the black pepper molecules stick to the finger. You can't get it to not stick. And that's just a way to maybe explain to them how germs work. I have one more question here, and that is, my kids are at home and the school hasn't sent any packages. Well, or, you know, they don't have online, so what should I do? Well, if you can Google benchmarks by grade, you will find out everything that they need to know by the end of their year so that they'll be ready next year for their grade when everything goes back to normal. So our guest today is Mark Hancock, and he is the CEO of Trail Life USA. This is a national Christ-centered, boy-focused adventure, character, and leadership program for young men. It was launched January 1, 2014. It now has over 25,000 members and over 750 troops across the nation. The K-12 program centers on outdoor experiences that build a young man's skills. A robust awards program provides motivation for him to grow on a personal level to become a role model and leader among his peers. And living the trail life is a journey established on timeless values derived from the Bible. I love your vision. Our vision is to be the premier national character development organization for young men, which produces godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. And our mission is to guide generations of courageous young men to honor God and lead with integrity, serve others, and experience outdoors adventure. Well, I'm going to get more into the interview in a minute, but I have to take a break right here. We'll be right back. I'm standing in front of Catherine Zoller's booth, and it says Dr. Seuss Meets the Bible, the Rhyme and Reason series by Catherine Zoller. You can go to the website, therhymeandreasonseries.com, and I'm going to let her just go in a little more detail about it.
So they're the books of the Bible told in rhyme. And what I've done is I start at the very beginning of the narrative of whichever book I'm working on, and I put the entire thing in two-line rhyme. I tell people to think of it as Dr. Seuss meets the Bible. And I don't leave anything out. I actually wrote these for a women's Bible study, so I don't dumb anything down, and there are no missing stories. For example, in Genesis, I tell the story of Cain and Abel that you will find in very few children's Bibles, as well as the story of Sodom and Gomorrah that you will find in no children's Bibles. Because when my children were little, I would pick up a Bible and I'd be looking for a story and I couldn't find it. And I didn't understand why we were cherry picking the stories that we were going to be reading to our children. God put it in there and I felt like it was important to tell the whole narrative. Another thing is I heard all the Bible stories when I was in Sunday school. I knew about Daniel and David, but I had no idea what one had to do with the other. There was no chronology. So it was important to me that children understand what God's intention was in creation, why the fall led to the flood, why the flood led to the Tower of Babel, why the Tower of Babel led to Abram eventually being called out, and so that there's a reason to this narrative, this story that actually goes through all 66 books of the Bible.
And our listeners can go to your website. Will you explain what they'll see on that website and tell us the website address?
Okay, the website is therhymeandreasonseries.com. I wanted to make it as long as possible. But I've got sample pages of the books that they can go to and look and read it to their kids or grandkids and see how engaging they are. I also have curriculum, since we're at a homeschool convention, that's specific for each book, and it's all a free download. So I have activity sheets, coloring pages, discussion questions with the answer sheet for the parents, and an activity sheet for each specific book.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. He's so into sports, he must be a pea-brained jock. He wears nothing but black, he must be depressed. She wears so much makeup, she must be a stuck-up wannabe. That's right, stereotypes. When you label each other just for their appearances or habits. Stereotypes can really hurt others and make them view themselves in a downgrading way. Even when you're just joking, it can still affect someone. Like calling someone a nerd just because they got a good grade in a test can make them feel self-conscious about themselves and possibly make them stop trying so hard at getting good scores. So remember, labeling people is wrong. And if you notice others or yourself stereotyping people, please, put a stop to it.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. Welcome back, and thank you, Mark, for spending this time with us. You know, on a previous show, you really were delving into the idea that boys are just wired differently than girls. And I thought maybe I should ask you a little bit about the fact that every boy I know, when they go outside to play, almost always picks up sticks. Mm-hmm. And you'll have their mothers running around, don't play with that, don't play. Mm-hmm. You know, but they do it anyway when their moms aren't looking. They pick up sticks. The sticks are their imaginary guns and weapons and things like that. And do you think that also is part of the natural way that in this broken world that God has encouraged the man to be the defender?
Absolutely. We really believe that play is the work of boys. And so when they're going about that play in their own minds, when they're defending, they're becoming, they're showing us who it is that God's wired them to be. They are wired to be the protector. They are wired to be the one that thinks about the dangers and prepares for them. That risk and competition that's built into boys is just innate to them. It's not a social construct. You know, the people mm-hmm. say, well, it's because you raised him as a boy. No, they just come out that way. In fact, there's even research that says in the womb, boys and girls are different. They respond differently to stimuli inside the womb. So they'll poke a baby boy in the womb and they'll get a different reaction when they poke a baby girl in the womb. It just start out that way. And so we're recognizing that in Trail Off USA, and we're making room for them to have that kind of experience. You know, that risk and competition, you know, we've taken away through participation trophies and all those things, we've taken away this opportunity for boys to really excel, for them to be really, really good at something. And I think what it's creating is what I call a generation of unproductive narcissists. Mm-hmm. If we're not careful, we're producing boys that are unproductive because we haven't challenged them to do something, and they're narcissists because we haven't given them a chance to fail, and they think that they can do things they haven't even mm-hmm. tried yet. So as a result, boys enter the real world, they fail one time, and they think they're done. That's that failure to launch thing that we're seeing right now. And so through Trail Off USA, we give boys a chance to excel, to do difficult things, to try something that they haven't done before, and to excel at it and to conquer it. And that gives them the kind of confidence to enter the real world and repeat that over and over again.
And you can go to the website traillifeusa.com. Am I saying it correctly?
It is. Mm-hmm. Two L's in the middle, traillifeusa.com.
And right now, you currently have a free download called Let Boys Be Boys. And I can't encourage you enough. I know that I've taken a lot of professional development as a teacher, learning how to teach to the male brain mm-hmm. versus the female brain. And I think we forget that. And I think maybe the average mom might forget mm-hmm. that. Maybe she just hasn't had the exposure to the idea that her boys are going to be boys. Mm-hmm. Her girls are going to be girls. And yeah, you might have a tom girl mm-hmm. thrown in there.
Sure.
So that being said, as we talk about serving these young men, maybe you can go through again a little bit of how a troop could be formed.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. At our website, we have a tab that says Get Connected, and parents can go there, and they can go to find a troop, And if they look at Find a Troop, it shows a map of the United States and shows where all the existing troops are. And you can put in your zip code or your address or something and then put in how far you're willing to drive, and it'll show you all the troops within that area that you can be a part of and how to connect with those troops. And if there isn't a troop in your area, then another tab is Start a Troop. And that shows you how you get a troop started in your church. Now, of course, churches that currently have Boy Scout troops, they find it relatively easy. They've already got a group of boys who are together, and they understand uniforms and patrols and using the outdoors. But about half of our troops were never Boy Scout troops. And that's just beautiful when you see fathers and sons and men and boys interacting in a way they never have before. You know, recently I was at a camp out. We had about 300 trailmen. That's what we call our members. And it was a younger boy camp out. So with the younger boy camp out, they're more controlled kind of camping situations. You're camping near the car, you know. You're not hiking for 20 miles and then camping in the middle of nowhere. So I saw the dad go to the car, and he opened up his trunk, and he pulled out a box, and he opened it up, and it was a brand new tent. And then he opened up two bags, and he had brand new sleeping bags. And he passed by me, and we started a conversation. He said, "You know, I've never been camping with my son. This is the first time we're doing this." That's wonderful. I ran in him the next morning around the campfire with his cup of coffee, and I said, "How did things go?" And he said, "We had a great time last night. My son and I sleeping in that tent together, and then getting out and looking up at the stars." He says, "It was just totally new things. This has really been beautiful for me." And as if on cue, this little six-year-old boy comes running up, throws his arms around his dad's leg, gives his dad a big smile, and then goes running off again. And the dad and I are just standing there like, "We just really nailed this, didn't we?" You know, so those kind of opportunities with dads who have never spent time with their sons in the outdoors, Trail Life gives them a place where they can go and they can do that, and they can grow in those skills, and they can learn from other men around them how to do these sorts of things that maybe they're hesitant to step out themselves. But the beautiful thing is we also minister a lot to boys without dads.
Yes.
Moms who have been crying out for years for godly men to help, because they understand that their son needs some masculine influence. And where do you go for it today? But Trail Life USA provides background-checked men, child safety, youth protection trained. They have a personal reference in order to be part of the troop. They've signed a statement of faith. They've signed a statement of values. We've got great mentors in place all across the country. Some of these men don't even have boys in the program. Their boys are older and whatever, but they understand the value of looking back and discipling and mentoring young men. So even boys without dads are finding a place in our program. You know, I was in Texas recently, and a troop master, that's the leader of our troop, he pulled me aside. He said, "You see that boy over there?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "He doesn't have a dad, but I've connected him with that man over there, and he makes sure he has everything he needs. He'll call him the night before. Do you have your handbook? You have your tent? You have your uniform? You have everything you need for this weekend? Do you have a ride? Can you get to the meeting?" He makes sure that boy has everything he needs. I said, "Wow, that's wonderful." And then he went through and he pointed out two or three other boys, and I was like, "Who are you? You know, what are you doing? What is this?" And he says, "When I was 9 years old, my father died, and a youth organization stood in his place and provided me with male-focused mentorship, and it made all the difference for me, and I'm committed to doing that for the next generation." Mm. We have men like that all across our organization who say, "Send us boys who don't have dads, and let us become a dad-like." And all the protections that we have in place, youth protection guidelines, keep those boys safe, but it gives them a male role model that they can be around.
Amen. That's such a great way to conclude our show. I've been talking to Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of Trail Life USA, a premier Christ-centered, boy-focused program. And you can go and learn more at traillifeusa.com. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.